So last week we're into Jericho chapter 8, and we mentioned that Jericho, the book of Joshua, sorry, not Jericho, book of Joshua chapter 8, and last week we mentioned that Jericho was a type of first fruits to God in the promised land. He was there giving these places to Joshua, to his children, through the army. Anyway, this time when they came to the place of Ai and defeated it, they got things right and defeated it. The children of Israel were to take the booty for themselves, all of the stuff, not give it all to God. This time it was all for them. So, in verse 2 of chapter 8. Anyway, my thought was, give to God what we should not be keeping, and return will be more, and the return will be more than we can contain. Give on the basis of principle, of correctness, not on whether you have or have not. My son came to me one time. We were just teaching him how to make money and save money and this sort of stuff, and he made a dollar for something. And as they gave him this dollar, and he knew it, it was the Sunday school and stuff, and I said, so you understand now that 10 cents of that dollar doesn't belong to you. He kind of looked at me and he said, yeah, I got it. And so he taught him at a very young age the right thing to do. So we will not be able to contain what comes back. We will be filled to overflowing. We will both be blessed and a blessing. What was it Jesus said? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Exactly. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah the prophet was sent to the brook Cherith, where the Lord commanded the ravens to feed him. All went well until the brook dried up. And because of this, because of a drought that a wicked king, that is King Ahab, had caused by his iniquity, so the Lord sent Elijah to a starving widow who would provide for him. Why would you do that? You do that so that God could perform another miracle. He doesn't like to show off. He likes to show people that he is more than they have imagined. See, they've underestimated him. And if he does it that way, then the only way it gets done is by God. You wonder sometimes why things are difficult in your life? It's so you can finally figure out that God is the doer of all things difficult, for his glory, for our sake, on his terms, not ours. When things aren't going well, you're not producing leaves and fruit. You're producing roots. You're growing roots. You won't see it, but they're going down and they're solid. They're a sign that the tree is getting ready to hold some more fruit, to be a blessing. Both have to work. They're the same. God is there in both. Seasons. Think of it as being seasons. So let's have a look then at 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 to 14. 1 Kings 17, 8 to 14. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Arise, this is Elijah, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he had And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah must have been thinking, wow, if I get the right address, Lord. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. That sounds great. It hasn't happened yet, but it sounds great. I still only have a handful of flour and a little bit of oil in the jar. I got a promise from a prophet. I don't even really know this guy. I've heard about him. And as for God, why would I be in this poverty-stricken state, ready to die? Growing roots, possibly. Growing faith, for sure. For sure. When you're in a tough jam, don't turn your back on God. Because you won't grow faith, you'll grow bitterness. Don't expect God to serve you on your terms. Not because He doesn't like you. Because you're not big enough, you're not smart enough, none of us are, to know what is the best for us in all things. We go for what's easiest, don't we? You go for the cheapest, you go for what's easiest, you go for what's quickest. None of that's got to do with wisdom. A boat builder. Brian, I want a really good boat. I don't want any plastic in it. I don't even want any nails in it. And I want the best wood. Don't cheap out on the materials. First thing I'd say to him. I want the real thing. And I need it by next week. And Brian would say to me, that's not possible. But if you're serious about this, I can do that for you. And it will take 10 years. It's a big boat. And if I told him, you only got 2 weeks because the flood's coming. No, never mind. So, return to God the first fruits of His provision, not just the leftovers. And He will see to it that we are well looked after. He's not asking for everything you have except for the woman who gave her last penny and they laughed at her. And Jesus said, she's got more faith than you have. You're giving me of the things you have left over. She's giving me your last penny. Wow. So, we listen to God and we heed God. Don't go serving principles of, you know, I hate that stuff. You need to give more money to God so you can have more money. And if you got $10,000, you give Him $1,000, then you'll have $100,000. I've heard that preached. I hate that stuff. Listen to God. Be generous. And He'll take such good care of your life. Seeing God do things two different ways in two similar situations. That's what's happening here. Jericho was this way and I was this way. What is that? His prerogative? Yes, but He's not willy-nilly. God is not willy-nilly. He purposes things for the immediate and for the present and for the future. You got to trust Him with that. Well, I can't see it. And you are? Maybe you think too much of yourself. Maybe that's why you can't see God. You're thinking too much about yourself all the time. Pretty much guarantee that one. So, two different ways in two similar situations. Jericho and I. It should be a reminder to us to serve the Lord and not simply learn principles about the Lord. Please don't just serve biblical principles. That is so shallow. Do at least that. Serve the living God who orchestrates those principles in our lives. You don't have to walk alone. You don't have to figure God out so that you'll be safe in the world. You have to let God, who has figured you out, be your life. So you'll live forever. No matter how long that may be here or how short. Note also that the rest of the people who had conscientiously refrained from the accursed thing were quickly recompensed for the obedience with a spoil in eye. They didn't get any of that booty. They resisted taking the accursed things. They saw it all go wherever it went, to God. And they're kind of thinking, how much bread have we got left in the bin, hon? We got any oil left in the jar? Yeah, we got a bit. Why? What do you need? Well, we've got another battle to fight. Hope it's not a long one because we don't have a lot. It wasn't a long one. And God was there. And they took the booty home. Jehoshaphat one time, in a battle. The Lord told him, go out and sing the praises of God. Yeah, right. So battle preparation then is to form a choir, right? Are you nuts? No. Following God. They went out and God turned the enemy around. And it took him 3 days to haul all the stuff home that the enemy left behind. Talk about bounty. So God gave Joshua the battle plans for the city of Ai. It was to be an ambush of sorts. Ai was chasing Israel down and they figured they had them. Just then, God spoke to Joshua and he said this, Joshua 8:18. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. That's all he did. That's all he did. He did that. Then everything else fell into place. It was God. It was God that did all this stuff. God did not just send them off into battle. He was there with them in the midst of it. When God asks us to go and do something, He expects us to not leave Him behind. Did you know that? He expects Him to not leave us behind. Oh, well, God's everywhere. I mean, you can't leave God behind. You can totally leave Him out of your plans. Like that. A bit of fear, a bit of worry, a bit of, oh no, what am I going to do? Instead of, God, where are we going? Never mind, I got you. Are you content to just go with God? You've heard me say that before. Do you need to know all the details? Because if you need to know all the details, you are not prepared to follow God. What about God? Is He? Why wouldn't you follow Him? He's God. You're going to be okay. You're His creation, His created ones, the ones He loves. Why wouldn't you be okay? We have reasons to be afraid, but we have no excuse for it. There was a... When I lived in Champion, there was a couple. We had a friend. We had lots of friends there. But one friend of ours lived in town, and her, I don't know, some relative. Anyway, this fella, he only had one eye, a little left eye. And he was sitting outside in the car, warming the car up in another town, not too far away. And he heard the back door open and close, or a door open and close. He figured his wife got in the car. She had actually just put something in the back seat. As soon as she closed the door, he drove away. He drove for approximately 7 miles to the next place. When he got there, she wasn't there. But they often sat without saying anything. They've been married a long time. Married a long time, you don't always need to talk. He left her at home. He had to go back and get her. And we can leave God behind like that. I have a thought, but it's too old. It's not coming back clearly. Leaving God behind is not usually a deliberate choice. It happens through apathy and laziness. We let our relationship with God slip from first place to someplace else. Any place else other than first place is the wrong place. It happens through subtle self-centeredness. When God is not central to us, neither are the things that He has made vital to us for a healthy, personal, and community life. Community-filled life. We can't expect God's blessing while embracing the things that He has cursed. You can't expect it. Achan expected it. God even told them. There is no blessing in that. There's only a curse. That cost him hugely. Joshua chapter 8, 29. And Deuteronomy 21, 23. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take this corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day. This was not Joshua's idea. He is well trained in the word of what to do. And you can find that in Deuteronomy 21, 23. It's all in there. Look through Leviticus, all those things Joshua was following. All those things that was God's will to do. at God's discretion. See, there's the principle. So you just apply it as you think it should be applied because you know the principle? Wrong! You ask God when to apply it. You become skilled in... We become skilled in a lot of things. We should become skilled in listening to God. We should become practiced in listening to God. Are you practicing? Are you practicing? How's your prayer life? Is it good? Is it solid? If you do it a lot, it will be, because you will be well practiced in it. That's what I'm talking about. How's your Bible reading? You getting some of your scriptures together? Are they making more sense? You kind of joining them up? You won't if you're not reading it, because you won't be well practiced. It's not you applying the principles to everybody else's life. It's you knowing the principles, so when the Lord speaks to you, you recognize it. And you recognize Him. I found some stuff last week. It was just amazing. I was just reading my Bible, trying to mind my own business. Not really, just looking for Jesus. But anyway, suddenly I'm finding, wait a minute, and I got a timeline out, and I'm looking at this timeline. I'm discovering that, wow, this is, and then this happened, and then, are you serious? Absolutely. I've never seen that before. Beautiful, beautiful. But you got to be in it enough to recognize what God's saying to you through it. Anyway, as a city of Amorites, this was Ai, a city of Amorites. You remembered the Amorites, right? Their time was up. The time the Amorites was fulfilled. This was it. We know of 400 years that God had waited. It could be longer. Could have been longer. Their time was up. God had been more than fair. They chose not to seek Him. We come to church like it's an option. It is. I'm not going to force you. It's a discipline. You won't be here if you don't have a heart for God. Or something else has your heart. Or He's someplace else on your priority chain. Not good. Oh, it's optional. It's not optional. If He's your life, spending time with Him in these kind of intimate moments with Him together is part of His plan to keep us healthy and wise and loving others like He loves us. Oh, by the way, that's without any return. That's what that's all about. Are we practiced in loving our enemies? Some things I don't like to practice. I never liked math in school. I like to practice math. Why don't you practice math? I didn't like social studies. If you don't practice them, you don't pass. If you don't pass, you don't graduate. If you don't graduate, you probably don't get a job. There's the odd guy that's a millionaire without graduating, but it's a rarity.